Save big money on your bathroom update at Menards. Transform your bathroom with a stunning new vanity from Magic Woods. With over 100 options to choose from, our vanities combine contemporary style with durable materials. Find the ideal piece to create the bathroom you've always wanted. From stylish and elegant to simple and modern, save big money on Magic Woods vanities at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all our great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
Merkle Media.
I guess it's time to go back in time.
Are you telling me you built a time machine out of a DeLorean?
Time is but a stubborn illusion.
I have a lot of memories of the past.
People are time traveling within themselves.
Time travel is possible.
This was all circulating around the base that a giant had been killed, but no one was supposed to talk about it.
I saw three long, bony fingers reach up underneath the door, curl up to grab it, and then disappear.
When he came over to me, dude, he slithered over to me.
And this giant comes out of the cave, and they're all frozen. And he starts running and firing at this giant. Well, the giant moves. He's got a spear in one hand, and he's running really fast and spears Dan and holds him up like this. Somebody yells, shoot him in the face, shoot him in the face. They basically decapitate him.
Got closer. When he got about 15 yards away from me, I raised that 12 gauge and I blow this head off.
I feel something pulling at my leg. And I look over, and there are two small, gray entities pulling at me. And they're literally, I'm getting pulled off the bed.
I reach my hand into this bush, and I touch air. Couldn't breathe, and I couldn't move, because I know I'm seeing a monster.
Okay, I reload it!
Yep. Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to The Confessionals. I am your host, Tony Merkle. Thank you for being here. If you've had an encounter or story you'd like to share with me on the show, go ahead and shoot me an email or go to the website, theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the contact section, and you can reach me that way as well. Either way works for me. Just get a hold of me. And if you're interested in extra shows every week, every Thursday we put out an extra show for members only on the website. So if you're interested in hearing more content, go to theconfessionalspodcast.com and sign up to become a member today. This past Thursday, we put out a bonus show for the public, and everybody was saying that it was one of the best shows I've ever done, which really surprised me. So if you haven't heard it yet, go ahead and check it out, because supposedly it's a home run. So let's get down to the business. This week, we have Maria coming on the show, and Maria's had tons of different experiences. And some of the main ones we're going to focus on are the fact that she comes from a lineage of witches. She saw these like weird demon dogs. She's had a lot of different things go on in her life, and she comes on today to share it all. So let's get to Maria right now. All right, today we have Maria coming on. Maria, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. So we have spent some time here just, you know, talking, getting to know each other, and some fascinating conversation we had, and I really do appreciate you sharing some of the things you shared with me. I want to get going on some things that you experienced throughout your life. You have, pretty much, you've had a crazy life, and it's very interesting stories that you have to share with us today. And I think we're going to start it off with kind of like your family background. So your dad's in the ministry, your mother, though, and your grandmother are at least were active in practicing witchcraft. I'm not sure if they are now, but could you go into how you found out that your mom and grandmother were practicing witchcraft? How old were you?
I was about 5 or 6 years old when I first found out about it. I was at my grandmother's house, and she was actually staying in a kind of a campground. When they retired, they sold everything that they had, and then they moved into kind of like a campground. And I was a stubborn kid. I didn't want to listen, and I wanted to go play in the woods. And so she said that she wanted me to come inside, and I said, no, I didn't want to come inside. She said, come inside or I'm going to make it rain on you. I said, no, I don't want to. And so I was standing outside. She flicked her hands at me and it rained on me, but it was clear as day. I remember the sky was clear. There was no clouds around. It wasn't like she grabbed a water hose or anything and sprayed water on me or anybody was around us. There was no awning around us or anything. But water just poured right on me and it stopped when I walked into the trailer. That was the first instant. The second time, there were things that she would do that would make me kind of question things, like she would flick her hands and things would move on the table. She used to have these nesting dolls that she would have these herbs in it. You might think it was marijuana or something, but it really wasn't. It was, she always had grew herbs and she would grow different things. She'd have different crystals in her house and she'd say that, you know, this crystal was for this or this crystal was for cleansing, and you pour salt around areas and this would keep the bad spirits away. And she would always burn sage and whatnot. And I always thought it was to keep the smell out of the house, but that's not what it was for. My mom, on the other hand, I just remember one time we went on a family reunion trip to Massachusetts, and we had stopped in Salem. We went into the Boston Yankee candle shop, and I wanted to go buy a candle. There was this one particular candle that I liked. It was Midsummer's Night or something. Anyway, it was black and it smelled really good to me. It had nothing to do with the fact that it was a black candle. But anyway, it smelled really good to me. So I bought it with my own money. And my mom was like, oh, so are you interested in practicing? And do you know that our family comes from a line of witches, that your grandmother was a witch and that I was a witch, I'm not anymore. And she was talking to me about it. Well, my dad flipped out because, you know, he was in ministry and, you know, he thought I was worshiping the devil and just completely flipped out. He made me throw it away. That's how I found out about it. And then I started putting two and two together with my grandmother, like, oh, well, that makes sense that she would make it rain on me. And my mom saying, oh, well, yes, this makes sense. You're buying candles. And are you interested in learning about this? I'm like, no, I'm really not. So that's what that was about.
Yeah, can I ask you a question here? I mean, with your mom, and she was asking you, were you interested in practicing? Was she in asking in the sense that she was supporting it if you wanted to actually start practicing?
Yes, very much so. And I was kind of naive about the whole thing because I was more interested in climbing trees and playing with frogs than actually doing church and stuff like that. So I never really paid any attention to it. Mom was always trying to brush my hair and I'm like running around and playing outside in the dirt. So when it came to my mom, I just kind of blew her off, honestly. So when she saw the opportunity to kind of bond with me in a way, she was like, oh, are you interested in this? And I'm like, no, I'm not. So
if she was supportive, what made her stop being a witch? I mean, if she's not a witch anymore, my natural inclination would be that she thought, oh, this is probably isn't good for me. I want to stop doing this. But what made her stop being a witch yet was going to be able to support you with becoming a witch if you wanted to be?
This was actually when I bought the candle. This was when I was a teenager. She actually started going to church. She gave her life over to God, I think, when back in 98, 99, something like this. So when I was a teenager, this was back in 94 when I went out to Massachusetts. So this was much a couple years later when she gave her life over to Christ. So I really think that's what it was. Something must have happened to her. Back then, she did end up with cancer. She had ovarian cancer, and I'm wondering if that had a lot to do with it as well. But I just know that she gave her life over to Christ, so I'm thinking that had a lot to do with it as well.
Yeah, of course. I'm sure that's obviously a conflict of interest.
Yeah. Obviously.
So, did your dad marry your mom knowing she's a witch while he's in the ministry? I mean, how did that whole thing work? Because that's obviously a conflict of interest as well.
It was, actually. No, he did not know. My dad was not in the ministry when they were dating each other. They started dating each other like right out of high school. They grew up around each other. My dad didn't go into the ministry until he was in construction, and he actually got electrocuted on the job and found Jesus, apparently, when he was in the hospital, and decided to go into the ministry. And then that was that. That was back in 86. So this was well after they were married. I was about 6-7 years old at the time. I just remember him going through the classes and whatnot. So I was already alive, and my brother and my sister were already alive at that point. So they had already been married and well established family wise before he even went in the ministry.
I got you. Okay.
Yeah.
So your dad didn't know your mom was a witch when they got married, I'm assuming, and he found that out later?
Yeah. Yeah. And I know that my dad and my mom's side of the family didn't really get along. When we were growing up, we didn't really go over to my mom's side of the family or my dad's side of the family very much. We stayed really mostly with my mom's side of the family, and we hung out with my cousins on that side. So we were closer with them, although my dad wasn't really with us, because my dad and my grandfather, my maternal grandfather and my maternal grandmother did not get along with my dad. So I'm wondering if that had a big part of it, just because of that. And my dad is very opinionated, and so is my mother. So I'm wondering if, just a conflict of interest and opinions and tempers and all of that in combination with it, and just how they raised their children just didn't allow for a good relationship between all of them. So,
okay.
We really just stayed with my mom's side of the family mostly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting though. It's just an interesting dynamic and how of all people in the world, what are the odds that two people get together? One's a witch, one's not. The other one doesn't know the other one's a witch. They get married. And then the one that's not a witch has an accident that prompts him to go into the ministry with a wife that's a witch. That's very interesting.
I know. It really was. And then like, what was it? 13 some years later, she ended up converting to Christianity. So, I mean, I guess God has his way of bringing people back.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. I've seen it many, many times.
Yeah.
So speaking of, faith and things like that, you've had some creepy things happen inside church. Am I right?
I have. So one of the churches that I I went to school at actually had a, because I went to a Catholic school, and the church that I went to, the Mary statue had tears coming out of it. It was in the news. It had like a newspaper article on it and everything. My aunt, she was actually one of my bus drivers. She collected a vial of the tears. I mean, it was like a, it was really crazy. It was a weeping Mary. It was just crazy. And then also I had this third grade teacher that she didn't really care for me very much. I was, you know, like I said, I was kind of quiet, but I couldn't sit still, and, you know, I'm kind of tomboyish anyway. And so there were, you know, a bunch of, all of us kids were in the classroom, and she was, I sat in the back of the class, and she didn't know that I needed glasses. So I was, you know, I always squinted a lot, and I, you know, I would get in trouble a lot in the class just because I, you know, I couldn't pay attention. I squinted a lot and I would whistle and just, you know, act out, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, so one day she sat at her desk and she opened up her drawer, and there was a bunch of cicadas, or like the locust bugs, like those big, huge bug things with those big green beady eyes.
Yeah.
And they like flew out of her drawer, and she started screaming, and like all the kids in there started screaming. And I used to play with them, so I wasn't freaked out by them. I mean, they used to like come out of their shell and stick on the tree. So I knew what they were, I didn't react the same way as some of the kids did in the classroom. And she thought that I put them in the drawer, but I didn't. So I ended up getting sent to the principal's office and blamed for it. And the principal, Lynn, she was a nun. And she, I remember she ended up like smacking me with the ruler. And it was like one of those deals where on Harry Potter where it says, I must not tell lies on your hand kind of thing. Like, tell me the truth. And I said, I didn't do it. And she hit me with a ruler, but like nobody could figure out where these cicadas came from. I mean, they just flew out of her desk. And I mean, it wasn't like the plague or anything, but there was, gosh, a good 10 of them that came out of there. I have no idea where they came from. I mean, and they're not little. I mean, they're like big bugs, you know. There was, you know, shadows that you would see out of the corner of your eye, like run across the hallway, or you would see, like I heard giggling in the halls, and I would hear, like in the bathroom, I would see a girl run into the stall, and I'd like look underneath the stall door, and nobody would be in there. I don't know. That place was just so creepy.
Yeah, it sounds
that church was
creepy. I mean, churches can be, you know, creepy spots. And I've done several different shows on people's experiences inside of churches where real demonic evil activity is happening inside the church. And early on in the show, I think maybe the first one I did, I got a lot of responses of like, you know, how's that even possible? And I'm like, it's just a brick and mortar building. It's not, it's like a house, you know, it's just a building. And just because it has the label of a church doesn't mean things can't go on inside of it. And especially with the fact that of what's going on inside that building, I mean, people congregate to worship God. And so if people are congregating to worship God, you would think, well, that's battleground zero. You know, that's exactly where things go down then. You know what I mean? There's spiritual warfare.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that, I just remember in the walls, the whole building, because the building was connected to the school, but I just remember it being very, like, you could hear your shoes click on the floor too. So it kind of echoed, and it was just kind of creepy to begin with, you know, so that building was so scary. And because of going back into CCD, and I was always there on like Sundays and, you know, just being there in the school. So I was there all the time. And my mom had taught, CCD, which is so weird, given the fact that she was witchcraft. Anyway, she had taught CCD classes sometimes. And I remember going back in there, and there were like books a book that was stacked up by the window, and it would just like fall over. And just this feeling that like your chest was full, like it was heavy, you know, like when you get a really bad cold and your chest is heavy and like you can't breathe almost. And that's what it felt like. It was just not a good feeling being in there. It just was not good.
You told me that you had other experiences in a house that you, I assume it's a house that you grew up in, because you said that you had some paranormal experiences that your family also experienced, right?
Right. So this place, well, my dad, there was like two different places. So my dad actually lost his job, and then we ended up moving, and we moved into this house that was really old. I mean, it was built in the late 1800s, and they bought it for really cheap because, you know, dad didn't have a job. They used what they had in savings to get us back on our feet and whatnot. So the house was, you know, had a basement and first, second floor. The basement was super, super creepy. The basement door. Now my sister and my mom and I were talking about this, and they kind of, you know, all of us collectively grabbed like these stories together, because I had a hard time remembering some of these. But they were telling me about the basement, and then it was like a flood of memories came back. But you go into the kitchen, and the basement door would like pulsate almost, and like it would expand how wood expands with heat and whatnot, and it would shrink when it was cold. It would pulsate like that without temperature fluctuations. And you would go down in the basement, and the basement stairs were, you could see behind the stairs, so it wasn't like a solid staircase. And while my parents were fixing the upstairs, us kids were staying down in the basement, because I guess there were, you know, it was such an old house, they were, you know, getting, I don't know if it was like mold cleaning or, you know, whatever it is that they were doing upstairs in the bedrooms. So we had to move our bedrooms down in the basement. And there was like an oil tank that was back there and the furnace, and they had it walled off. Well, it was always cold down there because it was a basement. But there was a fire in that house, and three people had died in that fire. You can see in the floor joists some of the charred wood from the fire, and around the corner from where the charred wood was, it was where the oil furnace and the oil tank was. And that's where my parents had put all of their books and like a storage area. Well, talking to my mom about it, she said the reason why they put all of that stuff there is because that particular area in the house is where those people had died. And she said that she had such a bad feeling about that area that she didn't want us kids there, because it was extremely creepy. And it was. I mean, one night, my sister and I were sleeping down there. And she used to have these angel figurines, and it was like on our little end table. And we shared a bed. It was like a queen size bed. And she used to have these little angel figurines on our nightstand. And she had them all facing towards us. And one night, one morning when we woke up, they were all turned facing the other way. Like somebody in the middle of the night had turned them around facing the wall away from us. Another time we were laying in bed and we were talking. It was the middle of the night and the alarm clock, we didn't have a plug down there. So we just had the alarm clock sitting on the nightstand. And the alarm clock floated over our head. I mean, it's like somebody had just picked it up and then moved it like right over our head and sat it down the other nightstand. We were just like, we were frozen there. We couldn't move. Like, did you see that? And she said, yes. And I'm like, I don't know what to do. She's like, just stay there and close your eyes. It was so scary. My sister had said that, now I don't remember this because I was sleeping. However, I remember when I woke up. So she said that when I was sleeping, that she actually saw me like levitate off the bed, that I was 6 inches off the bed. And I don't remember that, but I do remember waking up and feeling like I had just like slammed on the bed. So I don't remember levitating, but I remember hitting the bed. Cause I remember waking up and like, what the hell just happened? So I don't know like exactly what happened there. She said that I was levitating. I don't remember that personally. There was always like kids giggling down there. We had toys down there because before we moved down into the basement, it was wide open and we used to be able to roller skate down there. And, we had toys and whatnot. So they would all just be down there and we'd walk down the stairs. We had a deep chest freezer down there and you can see balls bouncing around the basement floor. Like there were kids down there playing, but nobody was down there. You could hear kids, but when we'd go down the stairs, there were no, like the noises would stop, but the balls, you know, like they would continue rolling, but like nobody was playing with them anymore. Like, oh, we got caught, stop playing with them, you know? There were growling noises that would come from the basement door. Once we moved back upstairs, we would hear growling noises coming from the basement. And it was like, we would go, mom would say, hey, go grab something from the freezer. And all of us would stick our finger on our nose real quick and say, not it. But whoever was the last one would have to run, go down there. And it was like, you run down there really quick and then you'd like book it back up and we'd have to hold the flashlights. And it was so scary. But, you know, you go up to the door and it's almost like you can hear this growling noise coming from the basement, like something just didn't want you down there. And our dogs would never go down there. They would not. They wouldn't even step foot towards the threshold of the door. They wouldn't bark or anything, but they just wouldn't even come close to it. We used to have a piano. So like around the living room area, it would go up to the second floor and my parents had a piano right there, right near the stairs. And the piano at night would just like one key would hit and like it would play by itself, you know, like somebody would just walk by and hit a key, you know. We had like a little alarm room, because the area wasn't like the best area that we lived in. So my parents had installed an alarm, and they had walled it off and put like a little computer in there. And so we called it the computer room, but it was really the alarm room, so we could go in and turn it off. And my sister had gone in there, and there was like these red glowing eyes in that room one time. And she came out, and she had this blood curdling scream. We ran around there and looked, and she was just like ghost white. She said these red glowing eyes were staring at her, and she would not go in that room at all. Toys would fall off the stairwell. You would hear footsteps going up and down the stairs. My bedroom was always the coldest one. It was like up the stair. It was upstairs. It was the farthest bedroom from in the back of the house. One time I remember I wasn't allowed to have, none of us were allowed to have candles in the house. And I guess my parents were worried about us like burning down the house or something, or, you know, I don't know. And my bedroom, I remember I had gone in there and the door would lock on its own. Like you would tug on it, and normally it would just shut normal, like a normal door, but it would just lock on its own. And I don't know why, but it just, like, you'd have to tug on it and you'd have to say, would you open the door already? And then it would open up just fine. And then, so the room itself was like the coldest room in the house. And my mom always said that it smelled like smoke, but there was never smoke. And I guess that's because, you know, the house had caught on fire at one point. But my room itself, I had walked in there, and the wall that was facing the street had caught on fire, but not really. It was the weirdest thing. It was like I walked in there. The wall was on fire. I started screaming. I ran out. I called my sister, but the fire alarm wasn't going off, or the smoke alarm. My sister came up there. I walked back in there, and there was no fire in my room. The wall wasn't damaged. There was absolutely nothing wrong with the wall. There was no cause for the fire. I mean, we had one of those old radiators that you have to like bleed, but that wouldn't have caused the fire. I mean, nothing. I don't understand. I mean, it just, like, the wall caught on fire, but there was no damage to it. There was like an old dumbwaiter that they converted into a closet in my room, and there was always like the scratching noise in there, and it was like really cold, and you couldn't heat up that room for nothing. No flowers would grow around the property. I mean, we tried planting stuff and nothing would grow around there. So one time my friend, and he was my best friend. And my sister and I, we went over to his house, and he's like, oh, well, my dad's out of town, my stepmom's out of town, and I want to try playing with the Ouija board. And I know what you're going to say, don't ever play with the Ouija board, and I agree with you, but I didn't know any better at the time.
Then I don't have to say it, right?
No, you don't have to say it, because I like totally agree with you, and yes, don't ever play with a Ouija board, because it's bad. And so what happened is we go over to his house, and he lived about 20 minutes away from us. We walked in his house, and he had like music, like he had some music going and whatnot. He had the Ouija board and, you know, set up, and my sister and my friend and I, we were sitting around, and I don't remember what we were asking it. I don't remember, you know, what the content of, I just remember it wasn't working, you know, and we're like, this is stupid. Let's just go home. Well, he was like, well, I can't keep this in my house because my dad's coming back tonight and he's going to freak out. It's like, well, okay, fine. Well, I'll take care of it. I'll get rid of it. And right across the alley from my house, there was an abandoned building and like a parking lot and like dumpsters. And I was thinking, okay, well, I'll just dump it over there. Well, so we get back to my house and my sister and I, we get into my house and we put the Ouija board underneath the kitchen sink. And so my friend goes to leave and he walks out the door. The kitchen sink door, cabinet doors started opening and shutting, slamming shut, both of them. Like they were freaking out. And oh my gosh, it was so scary. She started screaming. I was freaking out. I grabbed that thing and they were like violently slamming. We grab the board, we take it across the street and we throw it in the dumpster. And when my best friend got home, he said that the whole house was on. Like when we left, we made sure that we locked the house. You know, we turned off all the lights. Everything was shut down. But when he got back, everything was on. The lights were on, the stereo was on, and it was playing some like staticky, crazy, like you turn the stereo and it didn't quite make it to a radio station noise. And his keys wouldn't unlock the door. He said he called his dad from his neighbor's house and his dad told him to stay at his mom's house because he couldn't get in and his dad was going to be home. And I mean, it was just unreal. Like, I will never, ever, ever look at those. I don't understand why they sell them at toy stores. It's stupid. Like, those are not a joke. They're not a joke.
Yeah.
But the activity that was happening before the Ouija board, it didn't, like, ramp up after the fact, but it just continued. So I'm not going to say that the Ouija board made it worse, but it didn't help. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I can see that.
So, yeah, it was just, yeah. That was that house. It was just not, that was not a good place. And then, like, right before I left to go in the military, I actually moved out of that house. And I moved into my mom's friend's house for a little bit. And there was this, so I stayed in a garage and because it was only like a one bedroom house and the garage was actually kind of converted into a little apartment. And I was doing laundry one day and I had walked around the corner and I felt this hand touch my shoulder. And I turned around and I saw this man in like a red flannel shirt with blue jeans. And he had on a full beard and a full head of hair. And he like, I caught a glimpse of him, but he walked back into this room and you had to like go around the corner and you couldn't go out of the building because the room was locked, so you had to actually have a key to unlock the building. But when I walked in there, there was nobody in there. So he kind of looked like a lumberjack in a way. And then the next time I had to go to the bathroom, and upstairs there's like this it was a one bedroom, one bathroom house. And so the bathroom was upstairs and you go up and you can see straight, go upstairs and you can see straight into the end of the living room. And I saw the same man there, and it was dark in there, but I could see the same man there, and he was with a dog, and this dog had these red glowing eyes, and the dog was standing on this coffee table, and it had like this attack stance, and it growled at me, and it like started to jump off the table to come at me, and I like screamed, and I ran back down the stairs. So, yeah, I just, no. That was, and then, after that, I ended up going into the military, and then I saw the dogs again when I was stationed in Texas. So I was sitting in my dorm room at my first duty station, and I was sitting outside at a picnic table, and I was smoking a cigarette. I was talking to my my husband now, but I was looking out at like there was like this field, and I saw like this pack of dogs, and they looked like Ghostbuster dogs, and they were just running, and they were like blacker than black. It almost like the light absorbed into them. And they were hunched. They did. They looked like the Ghostbuster dogs, but they were all running in a pack. And I just, I just got up and I walked right back into my dorm room and I just shut the door.
Like, did you tell anybody about it?
I was talking to my husband on the phone. I'm like, dude, I just saw something really scary outside. I'm like, I am not going back out there. He's like, I think I have an idea of what you're talking about. He's like, do you think that they are the black dogs that you see, that you saw in Minnesota? And I was like, I think so, but there were a lot more of them.
Now, these dogs that you saw, are they like, because I mean, if you're describing the Ghostbuster dogs, I mean, I'm assuming most people saw the Ghostbusters, but you're talking about the dogs at the end, at the top of the building that come and sit down on the pillars, right?
Yeah.
So those dogs, I mean, they didn't have hair on them. They were like, they're these nasty looking beasts. The ones that you saw, could you tell if they had hair, or did they really look like this like demon dog?
They looked like demon dogs, and they were not as big. I mean, they were smaller, like almost like the size of a greyhound, but not as skinny. I mean, they were like muscular, big, fat things like Ghostbuster, but not like 6 feet tall. I mean, I would say that they were 2-3 feet tall, maybe. But they were built like that, and they looked like that, and they were in a pack. And they had their, like, their breastplate, and it arched up really high towards their stomach area. But they were very thick and broad-chested, and they just had the really short. And they didn't look like pit bulls, okay? Because I know what pit bulls look like, but they were not anything like that. They were not like anything I've ever seen. And they were blacker than black, and it was really, really scary. They were about 50 yards away from me, because where my dorm was, my husband's work was across the parking lot from my dorm. And so it was like a good judge of where this place was. And so I saw them running in that field, and I used to do perimeter patrol around the base. And I remember seeing them there, and I'm like, oh no, this is not okay. I just got up and I walked right back into my dorm room. It's not.
Yeah. I mean, you hear different stories of like these demonic looking dogs that appear into people's homes and things like that. I've heard several different people share that. This pack of dogs that you saw, do you remember, was it like, you know, 5 of them, 10 of them, 15? How many were there?
There's 1, 2, 3, 4, Five.
And I mean, this wasn't like an area where somebody could just have crazy weird dogs for a pets and they got out loose running around, right?
No, because it was on base.
Gotcha. Yeah, that negates that.
Yeah, no, it was on base. And yes, there are quite a few like stray animals on base, but typically it's cats. And this was not a cat. And like thinking about it, there were five of them. And I'm just like replaying it back in my mind and counting it out and just looking at and placing it where I saw it in the field in comparison to the building and whatnot. And, even because there was a golf course back there, there was no way most of these stray animals that I would have seen were cats. And, every once in a while you would have a dog that was a stray, but 9 times out of 10, it was a cat that people, you know, when they would leave, they would just ditch their cat. So no, it wasn't like a stray animal.
With all these experiences that you've had, and you've had a vast amount of experiences, do you feel like you're attracted to these experiences or these experiences are attracted to you? I mean, with all these things that you've had in your life happen to you, why you?
I have no idea. Murphy's Law.
Yeah,
maybe. I don't know. I really have no idea. I really don't. I never really thought about it too much. I mean, there's some other things that I've seen too, like there's, gosh, I don't know if I told you this in the email or not either, but I just feel like I just see these things. Maybe I'm just a little bit more aware of it, I guess, or I pay attention to things. I don't know. But like one time, I don't know if I told you in the email, I was driving when I was in Texas, actually, and Texas is just a weird place in general, but I was driving and I went to a town out there, like in eastern Texas, and like all the road names are still in German there. And there I had stopped, I was with a friend of mine, or it was actually my boyfriend, and we had stopped and there was like an ice cream store. When we stopped in the ice cream store, went in, I ordered something to drink, sat down, turned around, and I was looking out the window and these two kids had walked by. It was a boy and a girl, and they turned around and they looked at me. It was almost like Children of the Corn. They turn around, it was almost like, you don't belong here, but they turn around and look, and they had black eyes, like all black eyes. And they just stared at me. They just stopped and they stared at me. And they had very nondescript clothing. One of them, it was like almost, have you ever seen the pictures where it was black and white? And the apple is red. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, but reverse that to where everything else around you is colorful, but those two people were almost black and white, to where their clothing was very, like, monochrome, and they had very, almost no color about them. So, like, you would forget them if you didn't see them. Like, it was almost meant to be where you wouldn't notice them if you were walking by, like, you would just not notice them. But they were just staring at me. And my boyfriend, my ex-boyfriend at the time, he was wrapped up in ordering. And he turned around and he looked. And I remember, like, the guy at the counter was like, hey, here's your drink. And he saw me looking at them. And they shifted their attention to him. And it was like their head slowly turned to him, and then they slowly turned their head and then just kept on walking by the window and kept on going. And I like freaked out. We just got up and left. I got up and we walked out the door and we just left. I mean, we just left. We didn't even stay there. I didn't get my drink. He didn't get his drink. We just left. It was freaky because those kids, they had black eyes. There was no white in them. They had like straight hair. It was like bowl cuts almost, like somebody had taken a bowl and stuck it over their head and cut it, like cut their hair. And their clothing was like black and white. It was so weird. It was so weird.
So what you're saying is like everything was normal around you, but these two were like in black and white. And their eyes were black. It almost sounds like if I was producing a movie, and like a sci-fi movie, and I wanted to portray an image of some kind of time slip or time traveler, and I put them in black and white in like old-timey clothing to make it stand out kind of thing. The way they were dressed, was it like just modern clothing, just in black and white?
Yeah, it was very modern clothing. One of them had a hoodie on, the other one had a plain old t-shirt, but it had nothing on the t-shirt. It was just a plain t-shirt. And it was a plain hoodie, and it was a plain pair of pants. Both of them had plain pair of pants. I mean, there was nothing that stood out about any of them that would make me, like, really, like, if you were walking down the street and you saw them, and it was just like, you would kind of glance at them and just keep on going. It was nothing that made them stand out, except for the fact that they stopped, and they looked in the window, and they stared at me, and they had black eyes. Like all black eyes. Even their hair was really weird. I mean, just everything about them was weird. The only thing I could think of, it was like, I just say it was a Children of the Corn moment. I don't know. Like, oh, it just was so creepy to me. And I like flipped out. I went in the car. I've never been back to that town since. It was Fredericksburg, Texas. I've never been back since. I can't go back there because it just scared me so bad. The guy at the counter, he looked. I didn't say anything to him. He saw them. My ex-boyfriend saw them. I don't even remember talking to my ex-boyfriend in the car back because from where I was stationed to Fredericksburg was not that far. So I just remember we just got back and it was just like quiet the whole way. Like we didn't talk about it. We didn't talk about nothing on the way back. It was just weird.
Well, yeah, that's definitely weird. I mean, there's no other way to describe it other than, you know, a weird moment. I can't even ask you what do you make of it because clearly, as you're telling the story, you have no idea what you experienced other than just being able to recount what you saw.
Yeah, I have no idea. And as far as like why am I able to see these things, I don't know. I just think it's Murphy's Law. I don't know. I really don't know. I can't tell you. I have no idea.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of different aspects you can go down. I mean, there's really not an answer to it. There's a lot of different things you could say that caused it, anywhere from your frequencies to, you know, like how your body gives off energies and attracts things to your family history with the witches to, there's just so many different things that you could probably go down the road of to try to figure out why you, but it sounds like you're probably not that interested in trying to figure out why you just have these experiences and let's not get too deep on it. You know, so,
Well, no, I mean, why? I'm not going to go out there and say, hey, guys, come find me. You know, I don't want to do that. No.
Yeah, I'm looking for answers. So please come find me so we can talk. You know, so.
No, I really don't. I'm not that interested, honestly.
No, I get it. I probably wouldn't be either if I experienced the stuff that you experienced. Before we wrap this up, I want you to share how you kind of had a prophetic dream at one time. And if you could go into that, that'd be really cool to hear.
Yeah, sure. So I was actually stationed over in Korea, and my husband and I were both over there. One night I was, sleeping, obviously it was a dream. And, so in my dream, I was walking through, it was kind of like a museum, and, it was dusty and it was really dirty. There was, I was in a group of people, and I just remember in my dream, I, kind of veered off from this group. Off to the right, there is this room, and I walked in the room. There was, there was like this anvil type thing there. It looked like an anvil. I want to say it was like an altar. And there was a flash of light, and these flashes of light, it was like the brightest and the purest and the whitest light that I have ever seen in my life. And it was just a pure light. And there was a face, like a woman's face. And then there was another flash of light. And I saw like a scroll, and it was kind of like a parchment almost, but it was like a vellum. And the writing on there was like a earthy brown color, and it was like very blocky lettering. And I remember the lettering. I don't remember all of the lettering, but I remember certain letters on there. And then there was another flashlight, and this woman appeared, and she had long hair, and it had like a veil on her. And she didn't have wings or anything, but it was almost like you take a ball of energy, and put it behind her and then pinch it. So like behind her, it was like this ball of energy, and you pinch it. So it looked like wings almost, but it was like this pulsating energy behind her in this bright light. And she said, a child will be born, a son who, and then I woke up. But the weird thing about that is over in Korea, there was a big time difference and a day difference, between here in the States. So I got a phone call from my mother-in-law, and my mother-in-law said, "Are you pregnant?" I'm like, "No." And she said, "Well, I had the weirdest dream that."
I'm sorry. That question, "Are you pregnant?" That's got to make your stomach drop coming from your mother-in-law. And she wasn't even your mother-in-law at the time, right?
No, she was my mother-in-law.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, it's okay. Actually, we had only been married for, at that point, we'd only been married for 3 months. So.
Gotcha.
And I was like, "Oh God, I hope I'm not pregnant, because that means I'd have to go back to the States, because I can't be overseas on an unaccompanied tour while I'm married, because right. My husband and I, we can't be over there. We were at different bases, so I can't be on an unaccompanied tour pregnant. So I'm like, "Oh God, please don't let me be pregnant." But yeah, she says, "Are you pregnant?" I'm like, "No." And so, she said, "Well, I had the weirdest dream that I saw this little boy on top of the stairs with wings, and he had blonde hair, blue eyes." And my daughter came around and said, "Well, who is that on top of the stairs?" And she said, "Oh, that's Marco Maria's boy." And so she said, "Are you sure?" I said, "No, I'm not." Well, I ended up not being pregnant. So, okay. And then so I ended up getting stationed at my next base overseas. And a couple years later, I ended up pregnant. I ended up having a little boy, and he ended up having blonde hair, blue eyes. We ended up moving to back to where we live now, and we moved into my husband's childhood home. And just so happens that my son is like huge into superheroes. Well, I mean, he's older now, but when he was younger, he's huge into superheroes. And he was on top of the stairs and he had on a Batman outfit. And my mother-in-law had come in the house and he was on top of the stairs with his Batman outfit. And he was getting ready to jump down the stairs. And my mother-in-law walked around the corner and saw him on top of the stairs with his Batman outfit with there, just like she saw in his dream, in her dream.
Wow.
So, yeah. And those symbols that I saw in my dream, actually, now, when I went to college, after I had separated from the military, I actually retired, and the symbol that I saw in my military, when I went to college, I went to school for religion. And I studied, you know, Greek and Hebrew and whatnot, ancient Greek and Hebrew, talking with my professors because I remembered some of the symbols in my dream. We had determined that the dialect in my dream was Aramaic, because we cannot figure out what the symbols actually, like the combination of it, we can't determine what it actually says because of how it reads, that we determined that the dialect is actually Aramaic, so, which is the language that Jesus spoke, which we thought was really cool. I didn't tell him my dream, so he had no reference of where I was coming from with that. I just wrote it down on a piece of paper and said, hey, what do you make of this? And he said, oh, where did you get this from? And I said, well, you know, I've just got something I want to show you. And then he kind of looked at it and he said, you know, I'm not really sure. These are what these symbols mean. However, the dialect is Aramaic. So he had no reference to know that this actually came from my dream. So, yeah.
Wow, that's really interesting. I mean, to have a dream that, you know, actually means something tangible like that, you can't make it up, you know. You just can't make it up.
No, I mean, it's, and you know, the thing about my son is, I'm not saying that he's like the next Jesus or anything like that, or Jesus incarnate. I'm not saying that, you know, by any means, but I will say that, you know, my son, he is the kindest and the most genuine son. I am so blessed to have him. He is truly amazing. He's got such a heart for God, and he is so compassionate towards people. It's crazy. It blows my mind. I mean, when we go to church, he sees an old person there, and he will hold her hand. This one particular lady, he will hold her hand to make sure she gets to her car, you know, and I've never had to tell him or teach him that. He just does it. I mean, he's just phenomenal, and I've just been blessed, and he's just wonderful.
Well, it sounds like a very nice young man, and, you know, I can only hope that my son turns out like that as well. I mean, he's only 13 months right now, so he's into taking his toys and smashing them on my head, but hopefully... Hopefully he grows out of that. But
I'm not going to say that he didn't either. You know, I'm just saying.
Yeah. I look at him sometimes and like, gosh.
I can't tell you how many times Thomas the Train hit me. So
I just think sometimes, man, I hope he grows out of this stuff, because as he gets older, this is going to hurt a lot more. So it's all in fun. But Maria, I really do appreciate you coming on and sharing some of these experiences and stuff. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
Well, that's the show, everybody. I really hope you enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy it, please share the show with your friends. Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, email. I don't care where you share the show, but if you enjoyed it, please share the show because that's the best thing you can do to help the show grow. And until next week, friends, stay safe, take care, and remember, the truth will set you free, but first it will piss you off. Ben, would you like to say goodbye?
Bye, love.